Hey, good evening, everybody. Jim Hoffman here from EMS Office Hours, along with Josh Knapp from WantNew.com, and we are welcome you to the EMS Week episode of EMS Office Hours. And tonight, I'm going to try to keep it a little light. I'm going to try to avoid going on any kind of rant if I can, especially when it comes to EMS Week and what goes on and how, well, I should say more likely what doesn't go on. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. And I'm encouraging people to either join us in the chat room or give us a call, a comment in the blog post, and kind of talk a little bit about what your agency's doing for EMS Week, what you might have got, any kind of trinkets or anything like that you might have gotten for EMS Week. How they're celebrating, how they're recognizing its members. So I'd like to hear what you had to say when it comes to that. So please just drop in, let me know what you're doing. I'd love to hear what's happening with that. Before we get started, I do want to just kind of talk about, again, going on a rant, but it's we talk about not being recognized enough or not getting enough recognition when it comes to EMS Week. I just want to read a quick blog post from a fellow EMS blogger at Too Old to Work, Too Young to Retire, and they wrote a post on Take This Week and Shove It. And pretty much the post goes, EMS Week, that's it. It's just a pat ourselves in the back week for lazy bosses and hospital administrators. Oh, joy. I can go to a senior citizen's housing development and check people's blood pressures, or I can show up in uniform and be a prop in someone's EMS Week dog and pony show. And they feel this is a very lame, way to be celebrated, and they get lame emails from their bosses telling them how great they are. More important, they would think, why can't they get these types of emails and these types of recognition from their bosses once a month at least? But, it kind of just goes on to talk about how there's not a lot of recognition when it comes to that. And, pretty much get nothing, especially if you work past 5 o'clock, you're not really getting a lot of anything, because most of the goodies and food that they do after some places do put out is gone by the time you're working that evening shift, which kind of stinks for those people. And I can kind of sympathize with this post a little bit, especially if you've listened to the last EMS Week rant I kind of went on when it comes to EMS Week. So I want to just I'm gonna just kind of announce some things tonight. So before I get started, I want to bring Josh in, and I have another call on the line too. I want to try to get both these guys in here and get this going. Josh, are you with me?
Yeah, Jim. Hey,
Thanks for
welcome.
calling.
Yeah.
One other call. I think I'm gonna see who this is. I think I might know who this is. Hey, caller, you. It's Jimmy. How you doing?
It's Tim. How are you?
I recognize that 610 number, so I'm getting better at it. Thanks for calling, Tim. I appreciate it. Just talk about EMS Week tonight, guys. Looking online, just to kind of maybe kick it off a little bit. Doing just like a general search about EMS Week and recognition and contests, and I want to try to kind of highlight some of those on tonight's show. I didn't really find all that much, and even checking the main sites like EMS One and GEMS and EMSWorld.com, those three sites, really just doing a basic search on those sites for EMS Week, not getting a lot of return other than just the same old links to the main EMS Week, ASAP website, the FDNY video, stuff like that, nothing really original. I have to say that all three of those sites, it seems like EMS One seemed to have more original articles for EMS Week 2011, and actually had their own contest that just ended too for EMS Week as well. So I have to say, out of those three, I think EMSOne.com probably won the little private contest in my head I was having when it comes to who was doing a little bit more for EMS Week, out of those three big name websites. Tim,
Woohoo!
what's going on your end? Anything special that they do for you during EMS Week? Is there any type of dinners or events going on with you?
Not
There's a
this
big
year.
sigh, Tim.
Not this year.
No. I tell you, go ahead.
I bought myself a beer.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, Jim and I are popping another bottle of champagne here for all the people that we're hanging with.
It's funny. I wonder, like, you know, I sent a couple emails out today to my members on my list and in my membership sites and all, and just trying to get some feedback from them and encourage them to come on to the show tonight and maybe pop in and let us know what their EMS Week event was holding. And most of them, I got a lot of emails back saying they didn't get anything either.
Not
a lot of recognition going on, you know.
You're really being too narrow on this and too short-sighted. As a matter of fact, and all the listeners, you got it here first. I tuned into the Weather Channel, and they decided to give us a week of rain.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I did make a post on Facebook over at the Hudson Valley EMS page, and I kind of asked what their agency was doing for them, and I guess one of the supervisors from one of the agencies in that region posted back and said they gave their employees like a two-night movie pass or something, two-person movie pass to their employees, which is, I think that's kind of nice. It's something a little different other than getting a pen or a mug or something. You know, they can actually go out and enjoy themselves and go see a movie, which, you know, these days isn't all that cheap either. So, you know, that was kind of nice, I think. You know, I tell you, thinking about EMS Week, you know, I tweeted this the other day. If anyone out there follows my tweets or whatever, I was sitting at work and commercial comes on and they have an ambulance backing up to the emergency room. Doors open, two paramedics, EMTs or whatever, jump out of the back of the ambulance. They're bagging a patient. I couldn't tell if the patient was an arrest or was a trauma or whatever. They jump out of the back of the ambulance and they whisk him into the hospital and they're going on. The nurse is there. And it turns out it's a nursing commercial.
Thank goodness for nurses.
And this is right in the middle of EMS Week. You know,
well,
right
isn't
it there
nursing week also? Or did it just end?
It just ended. Yeah, it just ended.
Yeah.
So the commercial ended as like nursing heals. I'm like, what are you – I don't understand. You know, it's like – I don't know.
It's back to back. That's one of the things. EMS Week should really be a standalone week, nothing else, not rolling off the heels of anything else. And I can tell you, and I told you this before, Jim, without saying what hospital it was, I was contacted, as you know, some people may know, I have the company that makes an oxygen tank wrench and a multifunction one and all that other crap. But it's a good gift. And I was contacted by this hospital for their to give it as a gift, an EMS Week gift for their staff. And then I didn't hear back from him. I contacted him again. He called me back and he said, yeah, we're not going to give an EMS Week gift because we didn't give anything for Nursing Week.
Well, you know, I guess they have to try to be fair just to a point, but, you know, at the same time, it's probably less expensive to give something to the EMS provider than the entire nursing staff at the hospital, but I guess they have to try to be, you know, fair to some point. Guys, I just have somebody else just called in. I want to give them a chance to chime in if they have something that's going on with their EMS situation. Hey, caller, it's Jim. How you doing? Hello? Hello? I think I'm losing them.
I think they called up there.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
They're scraping the eggs off the pan now.
I muted them out, so call if you're on the line, the 606 area code, I'll try to bring you in a second. I'll try it again and bring you back in. So I know you kind of spaced out and we're yapping away here, so it's a little difficult to keep on top of it. One thing I do want to mention, guys, real quick before I go on, that in New Jersey they had a winners of the
Hero
contest.
Jim, I hate to. There's some noise like a washing in the background.
That might have been Tim, maybe.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right.
I thought there was some muting. Okay, so go ahead. What were you saying?
I was saying that the EMS Week in New Jersey had an everyday EMS hero contest in Jersey. And just want to mention the winner of that contest, primarily the guy named Bart Barry from Avon First Aid, Jeannie Ellis, a Ralph Adonzio, who's also a captain of a first aid squad, Chuck Frieda, who's a volunteer Colts Neck EMS squad, a Bob Newman, a Kevin Toomey, who I wanted to mention because Kevin is part of Middletown First Aid Squad and Rescue Squad there, and I used to live in Middletown and worked there as a medic, so I wanted to kind of specially recognize him as well. But more importantly, the gentleman, Richard Huff, there, who won, he's from Atlantic Highlands First Aid Squad, and Richard is actually a longtime subscriber and member to my websites. He's a follower of mine on Twitter, part of my EMS fan page, so I wanted to give a good shout out to Richard and really recognize him and say congratulations for winning that that Everyday Hero contest there in New Jersey's contest. So congrats, Rich. If you're listening, please feel free to post in the link as well, and give some a shout out to yourself and get your Twitter page up there too, so we can keep in contact with you. So just want to mention, give a little shout out to those guys. It's not much recognition, I guess, that people get, but I think it's something that's better than nothing there, Josh, anything that you know of that as far as recognition that you can bring up?
In terms of individuals or?
Well, I might have sent you some suggestions on some of the goings-on that there maybe was some recognition thing that might have happened, or I just want to kind of highlight some things that people did do for EMS Week to kind of just give a little recognition to those agencies that actually took the time to recognize their members and do something for them.
Well, what we were talking about before, the Empire State Building is doing their second year of lighting the tower, the top antenna tower of the Empire State Building. And I don't know if folks know this, but there are lights, colored lights, that they do every on any significant day, like the 4th of July, it's lit up in red, white, and blue. And on certain days, they'll light it up in whatever those standard colors are. And this year, this is the second year they're doing it. It's going to be lit in yellow, white, and blue. And it's really a spectacular sight if you can get it through the rain.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Tim, do they do anything like any of the other surrounding agencies by you? Do they have a special dinner for EMS Week or any type of recognition ceremony for like anything at all, any memorial wise or like, I guess provider of the year, anything like that?
Some do, but there are so many agencies that it's really hit or miss on who does stuff. Generally, the ones that have been around longer and have somewhat of a volunteer.
Okay.
Organization will do more of the recognition stuff because, hey, you've got volunteers. If you're not at least doing something to say thank you, that's even more of an insult than for the paid providers. At least I'm getting paid to go to work and do this stuff to not get anything done for EMS Week. I'm getting paid. It's a job.
Right.
I know also most of the hospitals in New York that run private agencies out of them do something, give some sort of trinket to their folks. It would, even when times were really lean, like last year, they reached in and I think we got a scarf or something like that. So, there's some recognition, certainly on the paid side, too.
But
you were saying earlier, Josh, about, why do we do it right after Nurses Week? It's because it's so unimportant that we don't even bother to take the time to try to spread it out.
Oh,
because
man.
That would be the sensible thing to do.
And that was an arrow in my gut, Tim. That really was. That was an arrow in my gut.
No, it wasn't meant to you. I mean,
I know
why
I know.
We do it. The smart thing to do is to spread it out.
You're right.
Exactly.
You're 100% right.
That's what we have is probably our biggest problem with EMS. We do what's convenient, not what's right.
Yeah, well, it's true, Tim. I know, like, even the last time I kind of talked about EMS Week, I mentioned about how there's some events that go on for EMS week, but they're going on like the week after EMS week or the week before EMS week. They're not really during the week, and it's done, like I mentioned even on our podcast, that that stuff is done out of convenience, not necessarily because it's what's the right thing to do, to really focus it at least. I mean, like, you know, even though this is on the heels of Nurses Week, it's also the same week that the for police officers. At least if we're going to commit to this time frame, at least try to get everything in this time frame. Don't let it drift off into the weekend after or the week before. And I don't know. It's you know, this way at least could be at least get focused.
What do you mean? Give it all the significance they pretend to give it? I mean, come on.
It's funny, you know. I look at other websites. I got a guy who posted something on my fan page, my Facebook fan page. He posted a thing he got from National Registry that said, you know, in acknowledgement, appreciation for your hard work, you know, for EMS Week, like a little certificate. But they didn't even put the guy's name on it. So he was insulted that the big organization like that couldn't print out these certificates that they sent out to all of the National Registry members and couldn't even pick a time to print their name on it. You know, as well, just sending out like just a blanket type, you know, advertising almost out in the mail without really personalizing it.
You know what?
Yeah,
I
how
think
much does the software cost to automatically put somebody's name in on something? You can use it on every other thing you send out.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And, of course, they already do it on any other page that they send you or their mass mailings. I think what we should do next year is go to Hallmark, get one of the nursing cards, cross it out, and put in, you know, EMT, paramedic, ambulance driver. You know what? I don't even know why I'm making oxygen wrenches. I should make greeting cards for EMS Week.
Yeah, right? It's funny because
you could retire on that.
Yeah, we're probably doing a magic marker. Just take half the cards at least. You know, let the nurses get their recognition, but take half the cards and write EMT and paramedic on them. And put them in a different, you know, right next to it at least.
And
you know?
And I'm not bashing nurses. My God, I love them. I really do. And you know, we work hand in hand together. But it's like working hand in hand. It's if anybody remembers back when you were in, you know, like the seventh grade and you were in science class where you had a lab for the first time and you did all this lab work, or, you know, you did all of this homework and stuff like that, and then your lab partner gets all the credit for it. I mean, there's a point where you share some of the accolades as well as the blame, but it seems that all we get is the blame.
Yeah,
but that's not because of the nurses, that's the administrators.
Right. That's the thing. It's not necessarily right. It's not necessarily the people that are on the line that are you know doing it, but still, like, you know, big.
And as Josh said, one of the hospitals wasn't giving anything to their nurses for Nurses Week, so
right.
They're in the same boat we are.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of you know, some of the comments I got through email too about not getting anything. Some people said, like you mentioned before, Tim, you're getting paid to do it, and some people said, well, you know, I didn't get anything, but at least I didn't get the shaft. I still have a job. You know, I'm not sure.
Depending on how bad the economy could get, that can be important.
Hey, I don't want to.
One of the nice things about our job is it can't get outsourced. And nothing against the companies that do outsourcing. And that's how we got to be a world leader. People outsourced stuff to us that they couldn't do.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, and looking at some of the other websites that I talk about, the National Registry and stuff, a lot of them don't really have a lot of EMS Week stuff, like on their home pages and things. And, you know, I had a really search. I mean, I was like four or five pages in deep into Google trying to find stuff and just seeing a lot of the same repeated, you know, links to the main sites and stuff like that. I mean, you did get Greg Freeze at Everyday EMS Tips. He had a couple posts there about EMS Week, which was some pretty good information there. Yeah, he's got some videos and stuff that some agencies are helping to promote EMS in their regions. So I encourage people to go check that out because some of those videos are kind of interesting. How different agencies in different areas of the country are like made like little short videos on stuff. I know Reddit, which I think is a software company, put a little thank you video out to EMS, which I thought was kind of cool, kind of, you know, taking the time to actually do it. I mean, I know they're a business and you know, it helps them with their I guess, branding and stuff like that to kind of recognize the people that are buying their stuff. But still, it takes time to make those videos and put it out there online. So, you know, and also I know Dave Koenig also posted some EMS Week blog posts on his blog as well. Especially if
he's not thrilled about the fire department claiming that they were around in the early 90s. I think it was 96 when they took over.
St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, the whole thing there about somebody saved somebody's life in 1991, and you know, Fidney didn't even take over health in the hospitals at that point. So,
and the one word that I hear associated with that takeover is that it was a very hostile takeover.
Well, you know, listen, everybody, listen, if anybody doesn't know at this point in time, one of the reasons that the original reason that Fidney took over EMS was to get some diversification within their workforce. And, you know, it's progressed since then. But, you know, the roots were it was a very separate organization that was brought on because, quote unquote, they needed management. And it was either them or the police. And, you know, as in true form of the redheaded stepchildren that we are, nobody wanted the hot potato.
And Giuliani was promising that he was going to kill off New York City EMS when he got in office, and he did.
Yeah,
he is rumored to have intervened on an auto pedestrian accident with a little kid. Don't know anything about how serious the kid was, but the policies are you go to the appropriate trauma center for this. And for some reason, while he was mayor-elect, his car was on scene, and the BLS supervisor told the crew, yeah, go ahead, go all the way up down to where the kid's father is a doctor.
Yeah, I remember that story.
But everybody
says
that there was no intervention on the part of Giuliani. It just happened to happen that way, no matter how much it was against policy.
Yeah, yeah. I got somebody just calling in. I just want to let them come in case they're on hold for too long. Hey, caller, it's Jim. You're on the EMS office hours. Who is this? Hello?
Jim.
How you doing?
Jim, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, all right. This is Ray Woods over here in Australia. I wasn't sure if I should call in because I barely heard the last part of you commenting about my comment on the picture. I didn't know if that went over like a lead balloon or if anybody agreed with me on that.
No, we were just talking about, you know, we talked about the capability of them having the software actually to put names on those things, you know.
Right, and so, I mean, they put my name on all kinds of other stuff.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like I don't want to be a sissy about it or anything, but it was just like, you know, instantly I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. How thoughtful. And then like, man, I'm just a freaking other number.
You know,
I would rather have just gotten anything.
There's nothing sissy about that. You're absolutely right. You know, if they're going to take the time to buy a piece of paper that says, you know, this is an honorary, you know, then put your freaking name on it. What the hell?
That's what I'm talking about. Like, how many office staff were running around there in the big world of NREMT, you know, for a week all over this darn certificate? You know, there's probably 30 people involved in the whole administrative hoorah-rah about the thing, you know, and they couldn't just, you know, take the computer file of all of our names and just generate it right onto, you know, I mean, good Lord, come on.
Excuse me, wait a second,
they
do it
for
I have a question.
Yes.
You mean, like, put your name on it like they did on the label that they stuck on the envelope to mail it to you?
Exactly. Exactly right.
I don't have the technology for that. Here's a crayon. Write your own name. Come on, you're an EMS.
Yeah, I like your comment about the nurse's cards. That's beautiful. All right. Anyway, I got to go, but thanks for listening to me, Jim.
No problem, Ray.
I love
thanks.
Your program and what you're doing.
All right, great, Ray. Thanks. Stay safe bye. Over there. Bye-bye. Yeah, Ray's another long-time subscriber of mine as well. But he's passionate about EMS, you know.
Does he do a blog? Or what did he...
No, not that I know of. He's, I'm not quite sure. He's in Australia doing something. It's not EMS related, I don't think. I don't think it's directly EMS related, I don't think.
After the show, you got to post the link to that comment with the picture. I want to see it.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to real quick, before we get into anything else, I want to mention some of the line of duty stuff and memorial stuff that goes on. I know that the National EMS Memorial Bike Ride is out there, and the Muddy Angels doing their event. It's East Coast Bike Ride. It started May 14th, and it's going to be over 8 days, actually, and it ends on May 21st. It starts in Boston and it ends in Alexandria, Virginia. I think there's another one that starts in, I think, Kentucky, and it also ends in Virginia also. So they're doing their bike ride, for, you know, during EMS week, and celebrating the lives of, you know, those who serve every day and those who get sick and injured while performing, you know, the EMS duties, and also, of course, the ones that have died in the line of duty as well. So I'll put a link to their page, of course, in the blog notes. There's going to be a lot of links in this posting, so I've got to try to get everybody's links in there for all this information that we're kind of mentioning. The other line of duty thing I want to mention, too, guys, before we go, is that Dave's EMS.com. I don't know if you guys have ever been to that website or not.
Yeah. It is. Actually, it's a pretty cool website.
He's got a lot of stuff on there. It may not be as organized as some people would like. It kind of like a big run-on sentence, sort of. But you know what? He's got a pretty cool EMS Week site there, and he kind of really lists all of the line of duty death mentions there for the year. So I think it's worth it to go over there and encourage people to go there, check it out. I think you'd be surprised of how many people have line of duty deaths in EMS for 2010 that they were included in this year's memorial. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. So I just encourage people to go check that out. I was looking at that line of duty deaths, though. A lot of the people seem to have died of cardiac arrest, like after a call or during a call. I guess the stress of the assignment or whatever wound up. People went into cardiac arrest, and I know some people argue that that's not really a line of duty death because it's a medical thing, but I mean, they were on duty when it happened, so.
Well, it just got, what was it, last year or sometime like that, it just got passed as a inclusion. 24 hours after a fire, if you're a firefighter in New York, that you get line of duty death benefits if you have a heart attack and die within 24 hours. They consider it line of duty. So, if it's good enough for them, shouldn't it be good enough for us?
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, I think, did the same thing.
There was a couple of things, Jim, when you pointed out the link to become a advocate for EMS on the National EMT website. They list all of the issues and legislation that's currently going, and I counted 17 acts that were there, and it's a couple of things, and I don't want to make this into a bitch session about the inequality that we have. I mean, we live with it every day. We're trying to change it. We do it through education. But a couple of amendments. There's an amendment out there to include volunteers and ground ambulances, first responders for certain benefits. So these are things that we definitely are not still equal in terms of benefits, death benefits, line of duty death recognition. And the other thing which I thought I was surprised at, I had always taken it as a given, there is no amendment in the code for the United States flag to fly the flag at half-mast for first responders. So if a first responder dies, there's no for EMS first responder, there's no code to fly a flag at half-mast.
Well, I know that if that does happen, I know that individual agencies and organizations will probably do it, on their own. So, not that that's really right either, but, you know, because it really should be in writing someplace for that to actually happen. But, you know, it's just part of, you know, the EMS is in the back seat type thing, you know. And there's some people argue, like with Ray talking about getting that certificate and not having his name on it. Some people would argue, well, it's better than nothing. You know, it's better than getting nothing. It's at least it's something. You know, people complain about, oh, all I got was a pen, or all I got was a stupid mug, or whatever. But and some people, oh, well, it's better than nothing. And you know, at some point I think we have to say too that, you know, we have to stop settling for this type of thing. You know, it's like,
and I'm sure
for
the
it.
People who gave millions of dollars to Bernie Madoff, and if he wrote them a thank you letter, they'd say, well, at least I got something.
That's the thing, they're right, exactly. It's like, you know, how do you just you know, kind of just roll over and say, you know, well, you know, at least it's something. At least I got something out of it. I got that, you know, 2-day-old meat, you know, in the ER and got a little meal out of it or something like that.
A soggy sandwich in a tray.
But, you know, Josh, too, like you say, you know, a lot of times also, you know, a lot of stuff that goes on in the EMS, you know, we wind up, it's going on because we're owning it. You know, we own what goes on. A lot of us are not taking enough steps to change it, you know, whether it's in just our individual agency or on a broader range.
Well, think about what it takes to be an administrator in EMS. You've got no real experience required. You say some management experience, progressive supervision in EMS, and nothing about what the quality of that was. And we don't have any real good criteria for measuring the quality of management. We've got people managing because, well, they've done it a while. They got kicked upstairs because they were too dangerous on the street. They know somebody. You know, we've got all sorts of excuses for putting people in management except for, hey, they're really good at managing things. If this person's in there, things will get done and they'll be the right things. And that's what we need. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well,
what do you really want for EMS week? I want a boss who knows what they're doing.
You know, there is a lot of competent people out there, and I'm going to hedge my bet by saying there's a lot of competent people out there, and there's some people who have risen through the ranks by doing, and they deserve where they are, and there's definitely others who don't. And there's an old phrase out of the business world called the Peter Principle. And it's a person rises to the level of their incompetence. So
that is what I was referring to. They got kicked upstairs because they were too dangerous on the street.
I'll be
it's
honest
a variation
with you.
On it.
That, Tim, that comes back to what I was saying and what Jim said to me before, that you own it. We own it. We own what's going on with us. And unless we, you know, complacency is the death of innovation. And until we take those steps, we have no right to say, oh, gee whiz, you know, all I got was a pen. Well, be happy you got a pen because you haven't done anything to deserve anything else.
Well, people give me grief. They say, well, why are you always complaining about the way things are in EMS? You need to do something to make it better. I'm pointing out where things are wrong. That's part of making it better. I also sometimes point out ways to make it better. But I get grief from people, even, you know, the people who are the supposed leaders in EMS, saying, well, if you don't have a solution, you should shut up. And that's part of the problem right there. Ignore the problem unless you have the perfect solution. And if your solution is not perfect, we're going to pick it apart and keep doing things the same way because that's what we do in EMS.
Well, how do you get a perfect solution?
You got to try things. We don't know what works until we try it unless it's been tried somewhere else and shown to be effective. And even then, agency is somewhat different.
Yes. Yes, but there are agencies out there that respond in similar fashion to us and can be, you know, look, they have taken It took a national, it took a federal edict to get it done, but the ICS is the command structure for the country. And if all else goes to hell, you know, there is that command structure, and that was developed by firefighters that were fighting forest fires. And, you want to think that the local municipality fire departments wanted to adopt, even by their own state firefighters, a process, or one house wants to adopt what the other house is doing just because it makes the job safer or better, there's going to be resistance along the way. People are more willing to cry or to bitch about something than they are willing to say, maybe this is a way to do it. And, you need to be applauded for the fact that at least you stand up and say that, there's a problem here. Let me suggest this. If it's not good, suggest something else. But let's talk about it.
Well, the biggest objection, not necessarily on the management side, but most of the things that I want to improve is that it costs too much. Like, why, when we're talking about patients' lives, is the automatic response, oh, that would cost too much? We have to go with very standardized multiple choice test with a practical exam that is essentially a dance. You know exactly what step to take at what point. And gosh, let me think, is that patient unstable? Yeah, they're unstable. Let me go with unstable. That is the kind of evaluation we have for a national evaluation of competence. How is that competence? We need to do something better. We need instructors, evaluators who are able to ask questions and find out where are this candidate's strong points, weak points, and figure out what it is that the person actually knows. If you're given a multiple choice test, it's whether you can recognize the correct answer according to them when you see it. When you have a patient, it's not about recognizing the correct answer. It's about figuring out what to do.
Tim, you know what? I've heard that comment before, and the only thing I really got to say to that is that there's an aspect of, yes, could our training use improvement? Absolutely. What couldn't? But, the majority of EMS professionals out there are professionals, and they do a damn good job, and they pride themselves on their work. And I think having self-respect and priding yourself on your work is a very important aspect of care, of good patient delivery. What we face as a world, or the world of EMS, and what we sort of started out this show with, is the idea of, are we getting recognition for what we're doing? Does the population even know that we're beyond a meat wagon or ambulance drivers or sleds or whatever you want to call it? And the thing is, and that's where I really come in and say we own it. Do we own getting better and improving our own skill sets? Yes. But where is the dam broken? The dam's not broken in the patient care that we deliver. Overall, it's more than satisfactory. The dam's broken in where our status is within the community and in the environment we live in.
We don't measure what we do well enough to know that we are delivering good care. When we measure intubation, we continually find out that the quality of intubation is nowhere near what should be acceptable.
Oh, no, I agree.
And then we get people saying, well, you can't tell me that I don't do enough. I don't get time in the OR. If I don't get time in the OR, then I can't be expected to practice.
Tim,
there is a mannequin.
I
play with the mannequin.
Yeah, and that's beyond the pale as far as that's a great example as far as training. But if you were to prioritize what's going on with EMS in general, would you put our training as the first thing that really needs change, or how the community recognizes and treats first responders, where it doesn't even give them the same death benefits that it does other first responders? I would say the latter and not the former, not the latter. You know, yes, training can always be improved, and we can always get better, but we really need to start paying attention to our overall command structure, our overall management, where we are in the society, the funds that are delivered to EMS and not diverted elsewhere. You know, those are the things that really are going to make our future or break our future, in my opinion.
And a lot of that is going to be politics, which is not going to be important to the average person. You've got a few people who are vocal in politics who are interested in doing what they can for police, fire, EMS, and other special interests, and we are a special interest. And
you know, one of the things
we
on
probably
the
have the fewest of them.
You know, one of the things on the chopping block for Medicare is ambulance rides.
Always. I was talking with a group of people about the changes with universal coverage, and they were saying the things are going to stay about the same, and there's this $10 million pool that is going to be split up among a certain number of agencies. I think it was 10 agencies, and it's kind of like, well, you're not getting anything more out of it, but look at the special prize that you can try to win. And that is the way people treat us. It's like, let's distract you and give you something to focus on rather than realize that you're getting screwed more than everybody else.
The good news is you don't have to clean longboards anymore. The bad news is you have to make your own. Here's two sticks.
And, we focus on the standard of care. Oh, we can't not immobilize people because it's the standard of care. And then when we turn around and say, does everybody use waveform capnography? They say, oh, no, it's not the standard of care. How can we be expected to use that as a standard of care? We need to be a little more consistent in the way we approach things. We need to think about what's best for the patient. And if we do that, maybe we get a little more response from the community during EMS week, because they don't know what we do.
You know, there's actually a new website talking about advocating for EMS year-round. It's emsweekideas.org, and they've got actually have some links there on how the individual provider can go out there and advocate for EMS at their state level, at the federal level. Gives some pretty good links, like get in contact with the local legislation and try to be a bigger voice rather, like you said, Tim, having just those few people out there being aware of it. They give us some pretty good information there on how to get involved and how to attend the meetings and make these the politicians and legislators out there more aware of what EMS is, what we stand for, and what we need. You know, and I think, Josh, you mentioned about, you know, what's more important, the patient care stuff and getting that, you know, spearheaded, or the stuff about being recognized and letting
prioritizing.
I think that this, at some point, both can be done in conjunction. If you've got, you know, the right amount of people working on it, you can have a section that's pushing for the more standard, more proven, better patient care that's better for the patients that we're coming in contact with, and another group who's kind of handling more of the, getting funds to do that and to get recognition and awareness for what we're doing and where we want to go and our importance to the communities that we're in. You know, rather than,
one of the things we could do is have the medical director actually meet the medics who work for him. Some of them never see their medical director, and the medical director never sees the medics. You know, for EMS week, find out who you signed off to give all sorts of dangerous drugs and do dangerous procedures.
Yeah.
Don't be silly.
I get in trouble for being silly all the time.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it. I think that there are ways that we can, you know, and I know Kelly Grayson, I think he had a article about the EMS week, the Beyond EMS Week, or it was I had the link written down here somewhere. I'll post it in the notes. But he talked a little bit about, you know, rather than just confining all of our efforts, like I mentioned before, too, as far as, you know, taking blood pressures and trying to make the community aware of what we do in this one short week, you know, why is it that we're confined this to just this one week in May, and we can actually go ahead and be advocates and try to do this year-round, you know, the other 51 weeks of the year. So
educate the hospital about
right.
what HIPAA really means. Now for you EMS know, week, learn about your responsibility to us.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Right. It's always the drop the patient off, and once you if you go back and God forbid you ask what happened to the patient, they act like you got 10 heads and you had no business asking what happened to that patient. Well, we can't tell you that. You know, just not about to tell you what happened to the patient. You know.
And because it's always easier to say no, and
right.
you're less likely to get in trouble if you say no, and that's what the lawyers tell them to do.
Right.
At least, you know, that's the simplest answer. It's not all the lawyers saying that. They have some who say, you know, do the right thing. This is what the law says. They are entitled to this information. You will provide it to them when they follow whatever procedures, you know, to guarantee that they're actually the right person to get the information. And if you're asking the nurse you talked to when you dropped off the patient, once they've got a memory like mine, they probably remember that you were the one who dropped the patient off, and they can tell you.
Right. Well, what do you guys think are like some key things that an individual could do, like to advocate for EMS? You know, 'cause a lot of people don't want to start writing letters to their politicians. They don't want to sit there and go to political meetings and stuff like that. Is there things that you think that can be done on an individual level that people can maybe do to help advocate for the professions that maybe in the future, maybe not next year or maybe the year after, it'll be a little bit more recognized? Maybe there'll be an EMS Heals commercial rather than a Nursing Heals commercial?
Or how about both? One each, one in Nurses Week, one in EMS Week, and we don't need to be making this something where we have to take away from the nurses to get for EMS.
It's definitely not us against them. There's no way that that is any part of a theme. I think what happens is it's a rebound effect, and we turn around and say, well, they're getting all the attention. Why don't we get some attention? And, you know, there's this desire to pull away because, you know, you want to pull this, you know, it's the old dogs fighting over a steak bone. You know, you
mm-hmm.
want to pull it away. And that's not the case at all. We're not looking to divide anything else. We're looking to create the resources that pay attention to the aspect that we have within the community and what we do. And I thought the point that Jim brought up is, you know, this is also part of the, you know, it is, a lot is wrapped around education. You know, when you go in and unless you know the docs or where the patient went, and that it's a difficult thing, and especially if you're at another hospital, a different one than your home base, you know, you can almost never get information on what happened to a patient. You know, they'll quote some HIPAA law or something like that, and, you know, you're involved with patient care. It's an important part of your education to know if your interventions worked. But, you know, we sort of keep on clinging to the things that are most familiar to us, and we have always struggled to get better information, better education. And so we immediately gravitate towards that, and I think we're doing it in this conversation. I think we have to sort of step away, take the 10,000-foot view, and look down and say, well, why aren't we getting that access to education or information or feedback, patient treatment feedback? And I think it's because of where we stand within the system. I think a lot of people, and even within the hospital system, still look at us as just the only drug of choice that we give is diesel. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's much more than that.
And if you have a good administrator, they often will set up a way to communicate with the hospital. It's like, this is our contact person. If you bring somebody to the hospital, to this hospital, and you want to know what happened to them, this is the person to contact if you're not getting you know, something from people
Wait,
in the emergency department.
That, or do, is that actually happening?
This is something that has happened at places where I've worked.
Wow.
And, you know, they contact them and they say, you know, we want to be able to get feedback for our personnel on this. You know, who's the appropriate person to contact about this, and what number do we use? What do we need to provide information-wise to satisfy them that we're not just some stranger? Because they don't want to be giving out information to somebody from the newspaper. And that is one of their concerns, which is a legitimate concern. But,
yeah, but if you
that doesn't mean they shouldn't give us – go ahead.
If you have a chain of custody for the information, like having a hospital representative, having a EMS representative, and having the two to talk, I mean, there's a way of scrubbing that information. So, look, you know, you can go to you and say, hey, Tim, remember that APE that you brought in last week? Well, here's what the status is. You know, they came out of it. They're just on regular room air. They had a couple of pressers, and now that they're going to be discharged in a week. You know, something just along that line. They don't even have to give you a patient name or any identifying characteristics if they really want.
I have one trauma center that will send me that information when I bring them a trauma. I don't ask for it or anything. They mail it to my employer. My employer puts it in my mailbox, and it gives me information on, you know, what they did and what the outcome of the patient was.
Yeah, well, I mean,
nice.
And that's – and it's probably – I'll bet you that that was a quality improvement review that they did. And they said, listen, here's what – you know, when you have a trauma, you have all elbows and asses in the air and everything's flying, and people don't stop and they do what they know they're supposed to do, but they don't know what the outcome is. And we can improve this whole cycle of quick treatment if people know that the treatment they provided was positive or negative. And so you're probably part of that loop now, because the hospital said we'll have better outcomes if we keep people up to date on a case that they worked.
And it just also comes from getting to know the people in the different positions in the hospital. When you tell them that you don't get feedback, some of them will actually say, hey, what can I do to change that? This is information they should have. If I were transferring a patient to another institution, I would want to find out, you know, what did I do that went well? What did I do that might have contributed to a bad outcome? How can we provide better care in the future? And when they realize that we're not getting it, some of them actually say, hey, let's change that. Let's provide feedback to EMS because this is the right thing to do.
Yeah. You know, but that's all part of that 10,000-foot view I was talking about, stepping back and saying, you know, that recognizing within the system that we have a role, and that role needs feedback, and that role needs reinforcement, and that role needs integration. And if we act as – and this is where I come full circle back again. We own that. We have to be the ones who advocate for ourselves so we can be better patient advocates.
And maybe instead of EMS week, we should have one item per month that we agitate about.
Sure. No, I'm going to put a link to that that emsweekideas.org website. People can take a look at that. And it's not just the advocating as far as politically. It also has some links there as far as career growth and the path that you can take as an EMS provider. But I think, like you guys have been mentioning, it kind of goes back to – you know, things that we have to change on a whole, and you know, trying to own it more and to get these changes that we want, and to see some improvements and both on the administrative level and on the patient care level. You know, people mentioning in the chat room about the hospitals don't include us, and you mentioned also, Tim, about how you have medical directors who are in contact with their medics and all. And I actually have a new medical director by me who used to be an EMT, and I think he still volunteers as an EMT, and he really is including EMS in a lot of of what he's doing in the hospital and the changes he's doing in the ER, trying to make it more efficient. And so much so that he's got actually have he reached out to the local big one of the bigger ambulance agency in the area, and has them actually assigned a person to be at all the meetings and to be a voice for EMS when the hospital and the ER is talking about these changes and what they can do better and what, you know, what they want to see from EMS, what EMS really wants to see from them, and things like that. And it's actually – it's only been going on, I think, for like a month or so. And it's actually – I've actually seen some improvements when it comes to interaction with the nurses, interaction with doctors, and even the registrations as far as getting information for patients and stuff like that. So I think that's something, even like a little picture right there, I'm just mentioning, it can actually be, you know, on a broader scale. So if it can work in a short period of time, from what I'm seeing so far anyway, I think it could pretty much work on a much bigger scale. You know, it's just about involvement and about, you know, putting it out there.
Well, and yes, that part of that is also the connection for the public to know that this creates a better healthcare, a better outcome, and actually a less expensive, less expensive outcome for the patient if that circle is connected.
Sure.
Yeah, people forget that the costs of bad patient care often get buried in the information we don't get from HIPAA. We might get later from a lawyer, but we act as if that's somehow unrelated and, oh, the insurance will cover it, so it's not real money, kind of like the government spending money.
Well, yeah, and they don't have a way of pulling that separate either, Tim, because you think about it, if you do something, you give, you know, too much of something, or you didn't get a good tube the first time, or whatever it is that the mistake happens in the field, or it's not even a mistake, you're following protocols that are outdated or just wrong, and that affects the patient outcome. So the patient's delivered in this critical state, they get treated in the ED, they get rushed to ICU, and that's where they stay for months until they get better or die. Nobody knows that could have changed by treatment in the field.
Yeah, get better or die or transferred to nursing home.
Bleh. Well, guys, listen, I only got about another minute left, so I want to end it there. I don't want to get into another topic and I have to cut anybody off. So I want to thank you both for joining me. Of course, Josh, you've been a key factor on the show lately, and so I appreciate that. Tim, thanks for calling in as well. Always appreciate your commentary and your points of view on everything that we've been talking about. So thanks, both of you guys, for calling in tonight. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, thank you. My pleasure.
All right, Tim, of course.
And happy EMS week.
Yeah, happy
exactly.
EMS week. Yeah.
Exactly. anyone want to look at Tim's blog? He's over at roguemedic.com. I'll put a link to that below. And, of course, Josh is at wantnew.com. And, of course, there'll be a link in the show notes to that as well. Real quick, guys, before we go, I just want to mention three EMS contests that are out there. One is by Stat Medivac, and they're going to be holding a picture contest. I think it ends on the 21st. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. And also PenCare.net has an EMS Week giveaway where they're giving away an iPod Touch. I'm going to put that in the show notes. And, of course, I have my own giveaway also at EMSSEO.com. So I'll put a link to all three of those ongoing contests in the show notes. So if anybody wants to try to get in on those, they're all up, I believe, until at least the end of this week. So be sure to go ahead and throw your email, your name, and all those contests and put your hat in the ring. You never know. Maybe you win an iTouch, or you win one of Josh's wrenches through my giveaway or something like that. So go check that stuff out. And Josh, Tim, once again, thank you guys for joining me, and I'll talk to you guys soon. All right, guys. Well, that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank everyone that joined us in the chat room, guys that called in live. Ray, appreciate you calling in. A good time talking to you. To maybe talk to you, maybe we'll do a show one day on your job. I think it's pretty interesting there, working as a rescue medic in the mines. That pretty probably be an interesting topic and something that people might be interested in. So anyone else that wants to comment, be sure to comment in the show notes below, or you can send me your comments direct to jhoffman@ems-safety.com. I want to hear what you're thinking and doing regarding the EMS industry, and maybe I'll put one of your comments and wrap a discussion about EMS Week or EMS in general and one of the comments that you sent me. Thanks again for joining me, everybody. As always, this is Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.